Well, good morning. Good afternoon. Now that I've caught up with you, would you turn with me, catch up with me, and turn to John chapter 8. The second great I am comes out of this text of chapter 8, verse 12. And it reads, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light of life. Isn't that marvelous? Light of life. Kind of give a little bit of a background of why Jesus said this right here, right now, is that this is during the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was a great thing for the Jews. It is the highlight of the Jews. It is a time of remembrance of what happened, what God did during the Exodus treatment and everything. And in the midst of this, if you kind of give a glimpse of what the tabernacle is, the outside part where you have the lavender and the altar and all that, you have the court of men or the court of the men of the Jews. And then outside of that, there are 15 stairways going down, and then you enter the court of the women. In the court of the women, there are four big candelabras. Each one has four golden bowls, and they raise 75 feet up. And they're in the corners of the court. When they are lit, they have a young man that keeps those things aflame. They have a ladder. Each young man has a ladder going up. This part of the Levite group, young men. And they will keep pouring oil in these things so they will not go out. During the evening service when they are lit, that the people come down. The orchestra comes down and fills the stairways, and they play the Psalms 112 to 118. They will sing praises. They will just come out with a hoardful of just loud singing, musical instruments off the side, then more singing, then scripture be read, then more singing. Is just a phenomenal thing. And the people are standing back in awe and waiting because they're thinking of the Old Testament, of the Shekinah glory, and the promise that God will send once again a light to the darkened people again. So they're going through all of this array yearly, hoping for that one moment, for that Redeemer, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God that will come and take them back again, that they will be children again. They will not be undermined again by Romans or anyone else. In the midst of this, it says in chapter 8, verse 20, that he's in the treasury. Well, this is in the court of the women. It's off to the side. As soon as you walk in, you have an open area about in the middle of it, and that's where 13 kind of trumpet bowls are. This is where the old woman put her mite in, and Jesus was watching. He says she put in more than all the rest. This is where that scene took place. And he's at the end of the celebration. It is ended now, all right? In chapter 7, verse 35 or 37, it talked about here at the end of the last and great day of the feast, that is. So he's at the next day. Well, the candelabras are not lit anymore. See, when those things were lit, it says in the Talmud that it lit all the courts of Jerusalem. Fabulous. People will carry lights showing it. I mean, just a phenomenal thing. And yet the next day, here's Jesus walking in, stands, and says, I am the light of the world. Well, the people all of a sudden thought, I am? He's saying that he's existing as God. He can't do that. He's a man. And yet he says, I'm the light of the world. Now, We have to be pretty dark to realize not one argued anything about that. That was how far of darkness not only their eyes were, but their heart. It is a shame that man cannot see at that time a Redeemer. And I think we'd have a hard time even today seeing it because of the world, because of who we are, what we're connected to. It says this for the hope, that in Isaiah 9:1, that it says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and in the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan." Verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Christ, he is the light. He is the light. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine." Does that sound familiar? That was part of the Easter concert. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you." Almost sounds like in Exodus where they had the flame during the day, the pillar, and at night they had the cloud. Sorry, try that again. At night they had the cloud. There we go. At night they had the pillar. There we go. I get it right, sooner or later. Anyway, try it again. But it was all dealing with light. You had the pillar at night showing the way. You had the cloud during the day giving them comfort. But notice this, during 140, 150 degree weather, going across that type of desert, tell me what you would see. Heat waves. Does it distort your direction of where you're walking? Yes. Can you give landmarks? No. You need help. You need guidance. And since they don't have any GPSs around, satellite or anything else, that God was the one directing them. Here again is exactly the same thing. In darkness, even though we are walking in the heated of the day where our vision is blurred and everything else, we cannot walk. We cannot say, "There's our mark in life. This is where we're going to go." We won't hit it. That is how far in darkness we are. I am the light. Did you know that John used this 14 times in his epistle? But then in 1 John, he used it 5 times, and Revelation, he used it 5 more times. Now, in the New Testament, phos, that's what the word is in Greek, light, is only used 42 times. He used it 24 times out of that time. In the midst of that, most of that's pointed to Christ. And even he claimed, "I am not the light." But there is one that comes. He's the light. Don't look for me. Look for him. I'm making the way straight for him. Prepare for the Messiah. He's coming. Didn't Simeon, when we were watching, didn't he say that he was the light? As a babe, he knew that. What does this mean, this light? Well, if we look at life here, John had this idea, and he saw this, and he's using this all throughout his epistle. It kind of brings back to what he was saying here. He was watching him when he was saying this in the treasury. So let's go back to John chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Isn't that something? John is using that as a main punch, main theme throughout. He is the light. He is the light. In him is light. Light means life. Life, it signifies life-giving power. A good example of this is what we have every day. We don't even realize it, but you go to a science class and you get tested on this, then you have to know it. And that is, when light comes, what happens to plants? Plants take development up from the water and minerals that are in the ground. With the light rays, it produces photosynthesis. Photosynthesis produces life within the plant. If there was no light, there would be no plant. No plant, no oxygen, no oxygen. Hey, you know, no vegetarians. Well, maybe more, I don't know. But do you see the understanding of this? Even nature says you need life in order to sustain life. You need this light. Again, I am the light of the world. If this is true, then this means that Jesus is the source of this life, this light. Four things can be said about this light then. That this light has energy and power, because life of the Son has life and power. Second thought is that that the light has purpose and motion. It isn't like a lampstand, you go, you know, it isn't the Ford light or anything else. It isn't the lamp that shows light on the street corner. No, this is God shining. This is God's purpose. His purpose is holiness and righteousness. And it moves. It just doesn't stay still. It moves through us. Listen, if we walk the walk instead of just the talk, people will see the light of Christ, not us. See? Point number three is that the light grows and it expands. It is the way of life of the Son of God. His foundation is life. Take a look at Psalms 36:9 sometime and read that. It says, but this is both a physical life and a spiritual life. And the Lord is the source and He is the sustainer of both of these. Light and life. Point four, it says that this life produces offspring. John writes in chapter 12, verse 36, put your trust in the light while you have it. I mean, that's almost emphatic. While you have it, do it. Don't let it slip from your grasp. Or better yet, don't let it slip from your lips. Salvation is only this far away, isn't it? This light cannot be stopped by darkness. Isn't that great? A critical point would be this. A man does not possess this light. He doesn't possess light. He can fake light, but you're going to have to do a lot of grinding on that old grinder to make a light work. A man does not possess it. It isn't within himself. It isn't by his nature. Men are in darkness by nature. There is no escaping this realm. We are caught in it. And the only way we can get out of it is through Christ Jesus. It is nothing of ourselves. He made the way for us. He also made this statement, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. This light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. John chapter 1, verse 5. John 3:19, it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds, my deeds, were evil. How about yours? The Greek word here that says to follow, whoever follows me, is a present active participle. It is a continuous action. It is not just a one-time thing. It is continuous. We have to continue in it. It's like a flashlight. I have two D cell batteries in a flashlight. If they're connected together, click. See the light? But if I take one of the batteries out because they want to do their own thing, put it all back together, click. You see my light? No. I have to be connected. I have to stay connected to Christ. Nor to have this light, nor to have this life, I cannot walk it on my own strength. It has to be something that is given to me. I can't do it on my own. By the way, neither can you. A man must continue to follow in Christ in order to receive light. Jesus is speaking of a wholehearted discipleship, not just a casual relationship. He's saying, I'm moving in, not just, do you know me as a neighbor? I'm moving in. There is nothing else but a life of commitment. Look up Ephesians 5, 8 to 12. That talks about that. Here's some final thoughts, though. It just overwhelms me. Jesus says that I am the light of the world. Take for a thought, for example. In the beginning, God was there. In Genesis chapter 1, right? What did He do at the end of verse 3? He says there was light. But He didn't make the sun and the moon until verse 6. So what's the light? Come back with me on that one. That would be kind of interesting. But look again at Revelation chapter 23. Everyone turn with me, please. In Revelation chapter 21. This is phenomenal. We don't realize the climactic attitude of who God is and what He emits. I was going to do this, probably burn the place down, though. So I decided not to do this, but I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll talk to you later about it. But there was a big searchlight. Has anyone ever seen those big searchlights that, you know, eat at Joe's, you know, here's Chevy Ford dealership, you know, you ought to come right now. Well, have you ever been close to those where the light will hit you? If you're fairly close, that you actually get burned. That is how much emitting energy these things produce. I mean, they're huge. Okay, in the midst of that, this light can go and it is only showing just one little segment where the... We cannot, if let's put it this way, if we were all in darkness right now, if everything was all dark and our eyes got adjusted to it, and you turn this big floodlight on, what is their first reaction? We love darkness. Those that are trying to enter in their own way into heaven will be like this because God emits a greater light than those. Again, Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. The city, this is the new Jerusalem, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. We will be there. There will be no more stars, nothing. The greatness of the kingdom will be God in the midst, emitting a humongous amount of light, energy, source, and we will be there sharing in the midst of it. Oh, Lord, come quickly. Oh, Lord, come quickly. I'm tired of the dark. Are you? Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing, please, on these verses, on these folks here. We are darkness. We know it. It is our own nature. We can't run from that sinful nature of ours. But Lord, you have given us a new energy, a new strength. Please, Father, to your glory, for your glory, please emit the Lord Jesus Christ through us, that we can be the type of soul winners, the type of examples that this dark world needs. Trim our wicks, Lord, that we can shine. Because, Father, we will be with you shining in glory. And this will praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.